Hour News. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens. Local, regional, and global. Only on Q95, the big station. Q95DA.com. Right on cue.
Hi, good evening. This is the Prime Evening News for today, Wednesday, April 24, 2019. I'm your presenter, Hassan Robinson. In the headlines, opposition leader Lennox Linton laments the recent tragic death of Dominican Kenny Ritchie Marty Mitchell in Anguilla. Jamaica has requested US $100 million in grant funding from the Chinese government to advance the development of its coffee industry. And one of the ringleaders of the Sri Lankan bomb attacks was the son of a wealthy spice tycoon brainwashed by his radical younger brother. The news is brought to you for the very kind compliments of Quartz Dominica Limited and Fast Cash, and the details of these stories and more are coming up next.
Short on cash and need cash now? Then Quartz Ready Cash interest-free payday loan is here for you. Get up to $500 in cash today. Come in today for our hassle-free service. No interest, quick approval, and easy payment terms. Get the cash you need when you need it with a Quartz Ready Cash payday loan today. Visit our nearest branch for your interest-free payday loan now. Quartz Ready Cash, ready when you are.
Does paying various bills every month come across as doing hard labor? Then it's time to break the chains, because Fast Cash is ready to consolidate your outstanding debt. Bring us your overdue bills or loans and we'll pay them off together, leaving you with one easy monthly payment. And we're not stopping there, because you'll also receive $500 cash back. Is this Christmas? No, this is Fast Cash. Terms and conditions apply. Smarter, faster, better, Fast Cash.
And we're back. On the latest edition of the weekly program, Jolly's Health Vibes, with hosts Carlton Lando and Jacinta Fagan-Difo earlier today, the duo discussed the intriguing topic of herbal medicine. They discussed the importance of traditional herbal medicines used in times past and which are still being used today. Mr. Lando says the concern of most medicinal persons is the use of combinations that are not usually monitored.
Yes, I mean, the concern that most of us as medical people have is the combination with a combination that is not monitored, mm-hmm. whereby sometimes people have chronic diseases, they are on synthetic medicine, maybe on five mm-hmm. or six, and then they combine herbal medicines with it, not knowing that the efficacies of these, all of these, can cause drug-drug interactions mm-hmm. and can subsequently cause your conditions to worsen. And so that's where, you know, we want people to be prudent and to be honest and say to the healthcare provider, well, doctor or pharmacist or nurse, I have been taking this herb, you know, whilst I'm taking my medication. Is this advisable? Right. Is it, can I use the...
Lando says herbal medicine has been around for over 200 years and more and definitely has a place in history.
Especially in Afrocentric societies, they definitely have a place in history. We know of many drugs that definitely have herbal bases.
Right.
They were made from herbs. And so they are around even now. And so it's definitely, we cannot in no way divorce or separate the herbs, the herbal medicines from what we know in terms of their benefit to illnesses.
And that was Jolly's senior pharmacist, Carlton Lando. And looking at the progress or lack thereof made in Dominican literature during the period of the 1950s to present, president of the Dominican Association of Evangelical Churches, or DAEC, Pastor Randy Rodney, touched a bit of that history, as well as it has how it pertains to the important impact of the literature and social and economic expressions here in Dominica. He also recalls a time when there was quite some public discourse going on as it relates to socialism and active change, such as the Black Power movement and other iconic moments in history that shaped our culture.
Stan brought in a certain light in terms of education, in terms of social programs and political advancement and so on. And not only in Dominica, in my mind, but across the Caribbean, there was a social movement, the MND and the Black Power movement and social movements like that over the Caribbean region. And some of you will remember that there was quite some shaking especially politically in the Caribbean region at the time. Between the 80s and 90s, we saw a rise in industrial and productive activities.
Rodney also examined some historical context and made some comparisons between those periods in time, and from his personal perspective, described the phenomenon as building a civil society.
In fact, you know, I remember some years ago, around that time, where there was a comparison between the OECS states and the people like Dame Eugenia Charles and what's his name, who was the Prime Minister of St. Lucia. Their movement was different in terms of industrial development, in terms of productive activities. What we saw over those years is a build-up of, or integration, if you like, of civil society with NGOs and the private sector and the whole social activism and political movement. In Dominica, we saw the rise or the coming together. Maybe it was sudden, but the coming together of the Committee for National Salvation. And the church, for example, was part of that, along with the trade unions and other NGOs and so on.
And that was the president of the Dominica Association of Evangelical Churches, Pastor Randy Rodney. And the leader of the opposition in Parliament, Honorable Enoch Linton, is speaking out on the tragic death of the Dominican man killed in Anguilla. Linton sincerely believes that all lives matter, and he says this matter is a troubling one. He was speaking to Q95 via telephone and shared some information that was revealed in the Anguilla media, which indicated that the young man, Kenny Ritchie Martin Mitchell, was subjected to prone restraint, which in combination with a positional asphyxia and talks of a blunt force or trauma alludes to the fact that Mr. Mitchell was beaten.
All lives matter, and in Dominica we speak for Dominican lives. Dominican lives matter. This young man was working overseas like many other young Dominicans. He has been in Anguilla for some time, and it is troubling that he was found dead at the hotel where he works. Now, what we have seen of the reports coming out of Anguilla is that he was subjected to prone restraint, meaning he was put face down and restrained with his face and his stomach to the floor. There was mention of positional asphyxia as well, which means that he had difficulty breathing in the position that he was held. And there's talk of blunt trauma to the parts of his body. That's coming from the police report, which indicates those things, and therefore it meant he was beaten. And this man, who is accused of the death of the Dominican, an American national, is seen in separate videos walking with police officers and walking to his plane to fly out of Anguilla, not looking as though he suffered any injury at all or he was attacked in any way. He seems pretty normal, and the Dominican man is dead.
Linton says that there are persons seeking justice, and the controversial bill granted raises the question of are some lives more precious than others.
The Dominican young man is dead. He has his family, he has his friends, everybody interested in seeing justice done, and obviously concerned that the U.S. national is allowed to walk out of Anguilla, go back to the United States, and his attorney says he's looking forward to come back to clear his name. And I'm like, looking forward to come back to clear his name? A man is dead. Clear his name for what? Is clearing his name involved saying, well, you know, whether he killed the man or not? Well, the concern that most people have, which we share here in Dominica, is why was bail first not granted and then granted? Is it that some lives matter more than the others? And I think the Anguillan authorities, in the interest and the spirit of Caribbean unity and oneness and so on, the Anguillan authorities, and Anguilla, of course, is a British dependency, so maybe we should hear from the British government, our friends, we are former colonies of Britain. What is really going on regarding the process of justice and closure for the family and friends and well-wishers and just ordinary citizens who are observing this and are really very concerned about it?
And the dato is the leader of the opposition, Lennox Linton. And the DFC adds yet another amazing artist to their jazz and Creole lineup, a man dubbed the epitome of a jazz and Creole. His name is Tony Chassier, originally Tony Hunter, born in December 3rd, 1962 in Fort-de-France in Martinique, and is a French singer, musician, as he has made his first steps in music in the pianos bars of Fort-de-France, where he met and collaborated with renowned musicians of the island, and he had made a name for himself with several albums. So.
Last few weeks, we have featured the artists from our star-studded lineup and given you a taste of what you can expect from them. I want to encourage the public, particularly those who are not necessarily jazz enthusiasts, to check out these artists on YouTube and their respective social media platforms. You realize that I'm not just using the term star-studded loosely. They are truly talented and impressive megastars. Last week, we were very proud to announce renowned jazz guitarist from St. Lucia, Boo Hinkson, as part of our lineup, as he joins Mel, the Smith Brothers, Johan Chokery, and Tony Chasseur, who we are featuring today. Tony Chasseur is what you would call the epitome of jazz and Creole, or Creole jazz. This year, he will be accompanied by the Ronald Toole Quartet, featuring Michelle Alibo. And patrons will experience a true jazz blend with Creole songs. This collaboration is somewhat of a new page on his already rich musical itinerary. Piano virtuoso Ronald Toole exploits elasticity of Chasseur's vocals to propose a magical and enthusiastic repertoire supported by the swelling bass of Michelle Alibo. The result is Creole jazz based on an in-depth exploration of Caribbean rhythms and melodies, primarily based on Zouk and Creole, as well as an international touch to produce constant creativity on stage.
And that was the acting events coordinator of the Dominica Festival's committee, Earlson Matthew. Meantime, modern languages coordinator in the Ministry of Education, Charlene White-Christian, tries to add a flavor that may be experienced at this year's Jazz and Tea Festival at the Convent High School grounds. Mr. Christian describes it as a tea party with a jazzy ambiance that is entertaining and not just for the children, but for the adults as well. The event is scheduled for Friday, 3rd of May 2019 on the convent grounds, and there will be a photo booth style arrangement, lots of eats and drinks and musical entertainment, all under a jazzy, classy and a sassy theme.
The Jazz and Tea is a tea party for children, we say with a jazzy ambience. It is designed to give children their own jazz experience, but in a fun and exciting way. Children from all schools are invited, of course, from as little as preschool all the way up to secondary school. Accompanying parents, there will also be something for you at the Jazz and Tea. The event is already being organized by the PC executive of the Convent Prep, along with the teachers and some other parents, and some very good support by members of the private sector. The event will take place on Friday, May 3rd, from 4 p.m. at the Convent Prep School grounds, and we are hoping to end by 8 p.m. The event is going to be separated into two segments. The first segment, which we call Tea Time, and the second segment, which we call Playtime. The afternoon will take the following format. On entry, we will have a book signing and photo taking of children nicely dressed in their classy jazz outfits. Our dress code for the event, we said it's jazzy, sassy, and classy. So it's up to the parents to decide what that means to them and to dress their children appropriately. It's a tea party, so we are hoping that they would dress very nicely for a tea party.
And that was Modern Languages Coordinator in the Ministry of Education, Charlene White Christian. And Minister for Agriculture, Reginald Ostrey, says the investment of the DLP administration in agriculture has been phenomenal. However, during the 19 years of the tenure of the DLP administration in office, many farmers, public officers, and political leaders have voiced their disgust in the way in which the agriculture sector has been managed. And Ostrey boasted that the $3.8 million have been injected into the sector since 2014.
Over the last 5 years, this government has invested over $3.8 million in the sector. This has been used mainly for the payment of the field monitoring officers. That's the Black Sikatoko monitoring officers. They have to be paid from that. We have been doing a lot of purchase of fertilizers and other inputs. We have recommenced the building of farm sheds, and we have also been purchasing tissue culture plants. I think we have about 10,000 tissue culture plants which are on their way, which have to be paid for from overseas. And that is distributed to the farmers for free. And all this is part of the government's investment in the sector and in the industry.
And that was the Minister for Agriculture, Reginald Ostrie. And the head coordinator of the Ronald Charles Rosa Valley Rounders League, Eugenia Jolly, is encouraging all Dominicans to turn out in numbers to support the Rounders finals in Cochrane on Cochrane Playing Field on Sunday, 28th April 2019, from 1 p.m. Speaking to Q95 News, Jolly said the Scotshead Matadors will take on the Mon Prosper Rainbow Rentals hard hitters.
We have the Scotshead Matadors versus Rainbow Rentals hard hitters of Mon Prosper going into the finals on Sunday, 28th of April in Cochrane at 1 p.m. So we are asking people to come support. Have a nice day in Cochrane on Sunday, the 28th at 1 o'clock.
And that was head coordinator of the Ronald Charles Rosa Valley Rounders League, Miss Eugenia Jolly. And a sum of US$100 million in grant funding has been requested from the Chinese government to advance the development of the Jamaican coffee industry. Minister of Industry and Commerce, Agriculture and Fisheries, Audley Shaw, said the money will be used to rebuild the Jamaican Blue Mountain Coffee. He says, "I have already had discussions with the present owner of a larger part of the Jamaica Blue Mountain Coffee system. In furtherance of this, he has indicated to me that he is willing to look at us and helping us find another partner to work with him to more aggressively build out the coffee industry," he says. Shaw was making his contribution to the 2019-2020 sectoral debate in the House of Representatives on Tuesday. He pointed out that similar partnerships are to be formed to build out other industries, including cocoa and Pimento. Meanwhile, Shaw indicated that a memorandum of understanding has been signed for the establishment of an agroeconomic zone at Holland and St. Elizabeth in Jamaica. And one of the ringleaders of the Sri Lankan bomb attacks was the son of a wealthy spice tycoon who became brainwashed by his radical younger brothers, the media says. The first images emerged today of Inshaf Ahmed Ibrahim, the Sri Lankan suicide bomber and alleged mastermind of the atrocity which killed 359 people. Ibrahim, age of 33, blew himself up at the Cinnamon Grand just before 9 a.m. local time on a third-floor restaurant. Ibrahim's youngest brothers, Irham, also killed himself when he detonated a suicide bomb at the Shangri-La Hotel, also in the capital, Colombo, at almost exactly the same time. The attacks claimed the lives of 41 foreigners, inclusive of all 8 British victims. 3 of them were children. As the police raided their mansion in an exclusive and wealthy part of Colombo, hours later, Ibrahim's pregnant wife, Fatima, also detonated a bomb, killing herself, her 3 children, and 3 officers. The brothers belong to one of the wealthiest Muslim families in the capital, with connections to the country's business and political elite. Their father is Mohammed Ibrahim, a prominent businessman who runs a Colombo-based Ishna Exports, described on its website as the largest exporter of spices from Sri Lanka since 2006. And that's the prime of the news. Here's a recap of the headlines. Opposition leader Lennox Linton laments the recent tragic death of Dominican Kenny Richie Marty Mitchell in Anguilla. Jamaica has requested US$100 million in grant funding from the Chinese government to advance the development of its coffee industry. And one of the ringleaders of the Sri Lankan bomb attacks was the son of a wealthy spice tycoon brainwashed by his radical younger brother. The news was brought to you for the very kind compliments of Quartz Dominica Limited and Fast Cash. I've been your presenter, Hassan Robinson.
Q, top of the hour news. As it happens, when